Turn in your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. Proverbs, chapter number 3. Appreciate that song. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is in my heart. Amen. Made a difference in my life from the moment that he came into my life. Amen. But he's not only in my life, he is my life. Amen. And that is a blessing. Amen. While you're finding a place, Proverbs, chapter number 3, I mentioned to Brother Josh, and I thought it was a cute little thing. I tell you, Gracie went home with us this afternoon, and on the way here, we was talking about the baptism. She was asking where we're going to have it and when we're going to have it and all this different. And I said, we're going to have it right after I preach. And she said, well, then, Brother Shepherd, would you try not to preach too long? I said, I'll try not to. That's my plan. Amen. That's my plan. And I don't say that to embarrass her at all. That's a child. That's all right. Amen. Amen. But you got to grow out of that some of these days. Y'all quit that. Amen. So, some of you still there. But it's cute when it's a child. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I thought that was pretty good. And then she said this. She said, well, if you're going to preach, could you preach out of the book of Esther again? And Melissa said, their mama said, it's amazing what they notice. And that they're paying attention and they know what you're doing. That's where we're looking at on Wednesday nights. And I told her, I said, no, I'm not going to be in Esther tonight. But Lord, when we may do that Wednesday night, we'll see where that goes. But I do have this on my heart, and this is quick. Chapter number 3 of the book of Proverbs. Thank you, brother. I'm just going to do a quick run over it. You know that last week I preached on chapter number 2. Just one sermon dealt with all 22 verses. Well, today I've got 35 verses, and I'm going to try to do that in one sermon again. 3 points and then a final closing point that I hope will drive it home. We're going to read every verse in it. I'm not going to do that immediately, but we'll do that as we go along and give you some understanding of it. And I'm not going to rehash a lot of what I've said. Matter of fact, I'm just going to pick up and try to primarily deal with where we're at in this chapter. One, to speed it up, and then just to give us the understanding. But I'll say this chapter, chapter number 3, according to many of the commentators that I read, said this is the greatest chapter in the book of Proverbs. Said it's the greatest chapter. Matthew Henry said it's the greatest in all the book. And matter of fact, I've got a quote from Matthew Henry that I'll be reading here in a moment. But this chapter deals with our relationship with God, and he talks about it as religiosity. And I'll use that phrase, religiosity. It's our religion. You hear sometimes people say religion will send you to hell. False religion will send you to hell. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, the Bible talks about is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. False religion is what's a bad thing. And we need some religion. We need some religious devotion, some religious experience. Amen. And I know people, they can have that. You can have that with a rock, or you can have that with a log that's carved out to have eyes and ears when it can't see or hear. You can do that with some made up figment of your imagination. You can have a religious feeling with those things. It's not of any real deep value. But we need some religious feelings towards our holy God. Amen. Our righteous God. And so we're going to be looking at that, excuse me, in Proverbs chapter number chapter 3 is where we're at. Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 1. I'll just start with that one and then, well, I'll read verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Philip, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Help us, Lord. Amen, amen. All right, thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Well, I'm thinking about this third chapter. Matter of fact, Brother Steve mentioned to me the other day, he said, asked me, was that my intent to just run through this? He said, it's like running through a forest fire with a bucket of water. Amen. Just hitting the high spots. And that's right. That's exactly what it is. I'm not going to say that I won't come back and look at it just really line upon line, precept upon precept. But right now I'm just looking at the big picture if I can.
dealing with this book of Proverbs. You know that I've dealt with the fact that chapters 1 through 9 is the father talking to the son. Almost every one of them start out just like this chapter did, saying, my son, and he says, forget not my law, receive my words, hear the instruction that I'm giving you, these different things that he's saying. It's the father talking to the son to try to help the son know how to live. And the idea about how to know how to live, number one, is to know God. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And so getting to know God, that's his purpose, that's his goal. And in this chapter, chapter number 3, as I said, 35 verses, it is a great chapter. Matthew Henry praised it as the greatest in the entire book. He emphasized how religious that this chapter is, and he gave a lengthy quote. Let me read you this quote. He says, this chapter is one of the most excellent in all this book, both for argument to persuade us to be religious and for directions therein. In other words, not only tells us to be religious, but it gives us a direction on how our religion ought to go. He has 8 points. I'm not going to use those 8, but I'll throw them out to you. He says, number one, we must be constant in our duty because that is the way to be happy, verses 1 through 4. Number two, we must live a life of dependence upon God because that is the way to be safe, verses 5 and 6. Number three, we must keep up the fear of God because that is the way to be healthful. So you notice he said be happy, the way to be safe, the way to be healthful, verses 7 and 8. And then he said we must serve God with our estates because that is the way to be rich, verses 9 and 10. And number five, he said we must hear afflictions well, we must bear afflictions well because that is the way to get good by them. And that's verses 11 and 12. And number six, he said, we must take pains to obtain wisdom because that is the way to gain her and to gain by her, verses 13 through 20. Number seven, he said, we must always govern ourselves by the rules of wisdom, of right and reason and religion because that is the way to be always easy, verses 21 through 26. And by the way, when he said that is the way to be easy, he's not talking about that's the easy way. That's the way to have peace in your life. That's the way to be able to go to bed at night, go to sleep at night, and to rest easy. That's the idea that he has in it being easy. Amen. If you've got things you regret, that's not an easy life. It can be a very hard life. But thank God it can be a much easier life if you don't have things to regret. Amen. For example, I just plug this. We talk about the marriage coming up. We got these folks that are thinking about marriage. If you live such, if you prepare such a way so that when you enter into marriage, you don't have a lot of baggage and you don't have a lot of regrets and you don't have a lot of scars, then you can have an easier marriage. Amen. And that's what he's talking about when he said it's the way to be easy. Number eight, he says, we must do all the good we can and no hurt to our neighbors because according as men are just or unjust, charitable or uncharitable, humble or haughty, accordingly they shall receive of God, verses 27 through 35. He said, from all this, it appears that a tendency of religion has to make men both blessed and blessings. Amen. So he said, if you know Christ and you have a religious encounter with Christ, he said, it'll make you blessed and it'll make you a blessing to others. Boy, that is so true, isn't it? Amen. So thinking on this, I'm preaching this evening on this thought. This is my title, Living Under God and Unto God. Living under God and unto God. In other words, we recognize that God's over us and we're living our life to honor Him. That's a good way to say that statement. And I believe that's what this chapter is dealing with. Now, I'm not going to stick to Matthew Henry's outline, but I do agree with it, amen, and I plan to show the emphasis that the Father is placing here upon His Son, showing Him the importance of religious affinity toward the God of heaven, amen. And so, as I said, I've chosen to call this living under God, living unto God. Now, let me point out 3 things, as I said. Number one, verses 1 through 12, I want you to notice that wisdom is God-oriented. It is God-oriented. Again, it goes back to the statements we made in the very first messages on this when we talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. So God's where you get your wisdom. It's always God-oriented. Look at these verses, verses 1 through 12. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So you see all this he's talking about, how it's oriented towards God. Even though the Father said, listen to me, he said, if you'll listen to what I'm trying to teach you, it's going to give you a long life. It's going to give you a better life. If you'll lay these things up in your heart, it's going to give you peace if you'll do all these things. Just the words of a father, a human father, really can't fulfill that promise. But the Word of God can fulfill that promise. When what the Father's trying to teach his son is based on the Word of God, then the Father can say, if you'll abide by this, you'll have a longer and a better life, and you'll have peace in your heart if you'll lay up these words. Because it's not just the words of a father, but it's the Father repeating the words of God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. By the way, that is how we need to train our children. Don't just, well, it is good enough to just say, I said so, and that's enough. That is, I hear people say, that's not good enough for you children. Oh yes, it is, because you're the head of the house, you're the boss. You put the food on the table. Amen. You keep the electricity running through the walls of your house. Amen. You pay the bills. You have the right to say, this is how we're going to live. And if you don't like that, you can move. You have that right. But I tell you what gives you even more right, not just the fact that you pay the bills and you're the boss. If you've got Bible, if you've got Bible to say, this is why we're living this way, son. This is why this is how we prefer to be. And even if it's not something that is a direct quote from the Bible, but it's got the principles of the Bible in it, you have more power to say, this is how you ought to live, and it'll be a benefit and a blessing to you if you'll live that way. So I'm saying wisdom, first and foremost, is to be God-oriented. Amen. It's the nature of wisdom is that we are under God. God is over everything. If there is a God, then he's boss. Amen. And when I say if there is, it's not that I doubt there is. I'm just saying, maybe a better way of saying it would be, since there is a God, he's boss. If God is, and if God made us, we're product of his handiwork, then he has the right to order us. He has the right to set the rules. Amen. If God has built into this whole universe a moral order, and he has, by the way, then we'd be best to find out what that moral order is and abide by it. If God is, God made us, God set a moral order in everything, then we're going to give an account to God one of these days for how that we've lived our life. Amen. Since all those things are true, when I said if, they're not ifs, they're certain. Since there is a God, since God made us, since God put a moral order in the universe, since we're going to give an account to God, then we'd better find out what God wants from us, and we'd better do our best to apply that in our life. Amen. Ought to listen to his instruction. We'd be wise to learn what he wants. Amen. One of the things I've been blessed with, I'll just throw this out. Some people, and some of it is some young people, to be honest with you, right now, that seem to be hungering to know the truth of some things of God. That blesses my heart. Amen. That blesses my heart. When people are looking to know, and why do I believe what I believe? Amen. Brother Jacob and I talked about that just earlier. Joshua made the statement when he was talking in the ordination service. My dad made the statement of how you just assume people believe things. Just assume that they know those things. But in reality, a lot of times they don't. A lot of times we've got to start at the basics. And really, sometimes they don't even necessarily know the basics. And we got to start out and learn and teach, by the way, and lead them along. Why do we believe what we believe? Amen. And so we do well to get our instructions from the Word of God. And I'll say it'd take a fool to try to live life without following God's instructions. Amen. I don't know if anybody here has ever tried to put together put a garage door up with a garage door opener. Probably some of these carpenters have. First time I ever tried that, I'll tell you how it was. I was working for another man. He said, we're going to put up these two garage doors. And he said, Farrell, you go over there and read the instructions while I start putting this one up. And so here he's over there. He's putting this thing together. He's getting it all prepared. And I got to bring out the instructions and say, well, wait a minute, John, you got the wrong piece there and you got it back. And so it took us more time than if we'd just sat down and looked at those instructions. And that's just a garage door and a garage door open. That's just a simple thing. But I'm talking about living an intricate life, something as delicate as life, something as intricate as life, something as just so, what's the word I'm looking for? So powerful is life. We do well to know the instructions. You'd be amazed how many people have never read their Bible through one time. I'm talking about people been saved for years. I say, shame on us. Lord, help us. Amen. I want to get in the scriptures and know what it has to say. And Proverbs is teaching that to the son. Amen. And it would be a fool to try to live his life without reading God's instructions. To ignore God's instructions would be both morally wrong and personally destructive. It'd be foolish every sense of the term. Amen. Well, to listen to God. And if we do, that's wisdom in every sense of the term. So again, wisdom, first and foremost, is God-oriented. We're listening to Him. Not necessarily just listening to preachers, although I think it's good to listen to preachers, but you better search the scriptures to see whether these things are so or not. Amen. Do as good if we would search the scriptures and see what they're saying, because there's a lot of voices out there today and we can't listen to every voice. We've got to be careful about what's being said. Amen. And so we ought to look towards God. And so I'm talking about religious instruction. Can I say this, that this idea, what we call religious instruction, is not just one dimension of an otherwise busy life. In other words, you've got a lot of dimensions. You've got your home life. You've got your business life. You've got your social life. You've got your economic life. The religious instruction covers all of it. Religious instruction helps us in our home. Religious instruction helps us on the job. Religious instruction helps us in our economic situation. It controls it all. Amen. And so I'm saying, look to God. He's got the answer to every facet of your life and mine. Amen. And our life's always changing. One day you're a single person. You ain't got nothing to worry about but yourself. And you're having trouble with that. So you decide, what I'll do, I think I'll get married. Since I can't take care of myself, I'll get married. And I can take care of my wife and myself. And it changes. Then you start having children. And it changes. And then the children get grown. And it changes. You got grandchildren. And it changes. I'm just saying life is always changing. But I'm glad our Bible's got an answer for every facet of your life. Amen. 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 So following God, that's the idea. It's ultimately looking at God. Amen. So we look to God first and we learn how to live successfully. Amen. Notice that the father tells his son to pay attention to his rules and his requirements, and he says they will benefit him throughout a long and prosperous life. Then beginning in verses 4 going through verse 12, he references the importance of living in the sight of God. He's talking about, listen to me, those first three verses. Then he starts looking at how you're relating to God. Look at verse 4. I underlined that phrase, in the sight of God. Look at verse number 5. Underline the phrase, the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Amen. Verse number 6, he references that we need to allow God to direct our paths. Verse number 7, he tells us that we need to fear the Lord. Verse number 9, he tells us that we need to honor the Lord with all of our substance. Amen. Then verses 11 and 12, he speaks of the chastening of the Lord and the correction that God gives to all of his children. Amen. And so he mentions he's talking about the Lord. The Lord's in your life. The Lord's in your life. If the Lord's not in your life, it's not a wise life. It's not a successful life. Amen. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how much praise you have. If the Lord's not in your life, it's not a successful life. And so all these areas he tells us to look to God. Trust Him. Let Him direct you. Fear Him. That means don't go against Him. Amen. and honor him with thy substance, and on and on and on. That thing about the chastening of the Lord is so powerful that it's repeated in Hebrews chapter number 12. Now, I'm going to turn over there and read it to you. You probably know it very well, but that when, if you want to stay in Proverbs verse 11 and 12, you'll notice the similarities. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Here it is. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see that? He's talking about the chastening of God. If you're God's child, God's going to direct your life or else. If you're God's child, God's going to have influence in your life or else. Amen. What kind of parent would it be to just let their children wander around on the freeway with no instruction and no discipline? What kind of child what kind of parent would that be? That wouldn't be a good parent. God is a good parent. God's not going to let us wander around in the world of sin and get by in that. Amen. He's going to chasten every child that belongs to him. Now, Hebrews goes on to say if you don't have that, then it's because you're not a child of God. Goes on to talk about that. But here the father's telling the son, your wisdom comes from God. It's always God-oriented. Amen. And so I wish the point I want to emphasize here is that true wisdom, true knowledge should always direct our heart to God, not away from God. Amen. I'll say that again because I think it's important. True wisdom, true knowledge should always direct our heart toward God and not away from God. Any knowledge that tries to pull you away from God is perverted knowledge. Amen. If it drives you away from God, it's not good knowledge. It's devilish, carnal, ungodly, wicked, worldly, and not true wisdom. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter number 3. He talks about that devilish knowledge. James chapter number 3. And we'll come back to Proverbs in a minute, and I'll finish this point up. James chapter number 3. Verses number 15 through 17. James chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, doesn't come down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen. You know what he's saying here? There are some things you can learn that'll pull your heart away from God. Amen. There's a lot of young men learned what a naked woman looks like. And it didn't pull them towards God. It pulled them away from God. That's knowledge. By the way, that's knowledge that ought not be known until the marriage has been taken place. Amen. And it go vice versa. There's other knowledge. There's some, they learn, they know about things that they should not know about that pulls them away from God. This higher education system. We get to know so much that we don't need God. We just write God out of the picture. All we need is science. All we need is the world's textbooks. We got it all figured out. I'm telling you, they don't have it figured out. Amen. I was telling Brother Steve the other day, I think Joshua, we was talking about how that they were talking about, they're calling our president a science denier. They said he's denying the science. And they said, we need to just trust the scientists. I said, which scientist should we trust? The one that said, don't wear masks, and then say, do wear masks. Or the ones that say, we're going to release this virus on the public. Which scientists should we trust? I tell you what we better trust. We better trust God's what we better trust. Amen. I'm not saying you can't trust any man. And by the way, I'm not saying that you can't trust a man just because he makes a mistake somewhere down the road. Amen. But I am saying this. Men do make mistakes. God never does. True knowledge not pull us away from God. It ought to drive us to God. Amen. It's always God-oriented. Then look at chapter 3 again of Proverbs verses 13 through 26. The vast majority of this talks about the value and the benefits of wisdom. Even in the verses before that, the the Father. He's done that in chapter 1. He did that in chapter 2. Talks about the benefits. There's going to be some good things if you'll look to God for your wisdom and you'll learn to live under God and you'll learn to live unto God. Look at verse 6, by the way. He talks about, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Look at this. And He shall direct thy path. Boy, it's good when God's leading us along. Amen. Brother Philip talking in Sunday school this morning about how he applied for that job over there, was it 6 months before the job actually came open? And he believed God was putting the timing right so that he'd be where he needed to be, so that when his parents moved, he could make the move, or he could stay here and do the things that he did by making the move of the job. God directing your life. I'm telling you, it's always a blessing. That is a benefit of just trusting the Lord in all your ways. And then look at verse number 8. He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Amen. It's saying there's health benefits. It's healthier to live for God than to live the way of the world. You watch people that's been strung out on meth. They've lost their teeth. A lot of them lose their minds. Amen. People that smoke dope. People that inject stuff in their bodies. Amen. People that drink and all that. You look at the health effects on their body. I've seen people much younger than me look like, matter of fact, and I'm not saying my mama looks old, but they look older than my mama and they're younger than I am. Amen. Amen. Lord help us. Verse number 10. He says, he tells us about how there's prosperity in following God. Look, so thy barns shall be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And that's not a blanket statement saying that all God's people are going to be rich. All God's people are going to be wealthy. All God's people is going to be healthy, but it is saying there's blessings in following God. That's what he's talking about. There are blessings in following God, blessings in obeying the Lord and walking in His paths. Then he follows up these next verses with several statements concerning the blessing and the prosperity that comes from knowing God. Look at verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know that word happy is the same word as blessed? He's happy, he's blessed if he follows God. Look at verse number 14. For the merchandise of it, the wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. Amen. He's simply saying you're doing better if you're getting wisdom than getting money. Amen. Education is an important thing. Amen. I'm talking about spiritual education in particular. Verse number 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not be compared unto her. That's not talking about some woman. That is a feminine personification of wisdom. Wisdom's more precious than rubies. Amen. All the other things you get won't equal wisdom. You ever seen somebody that had a lot of money and had a lot of power, but there's an idiot? Amen. We've had people like that run for president before. We've had people like that be president before. Amen. All right. Look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways, he's still talking about this personification of wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Amen. Those verses, verse 13 through 26, is dealing with the blessedness, the benefits of walking in the things of God. Again, it's not saying that you'll never have a sleepless night. You may very well have some sorrowful and sleepless nights. But it's saying overall, your life will be blessed more abundantly than if you choose to go another way. Amen. There's so many things that could be said about it. When he's talking here about this wisdom in the personification of the woman, and he says, let me find it, in verse number 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Again, that's not saying you'll always be happy. There'll never be any sorrow. But what it is saying is that overall, you'll look back on your life and you'll say, my life has been blessed because of what I know about God and because of the times that I have followed God and the times that I have obeyed the Lord. My life has been blessed because of those times. Amen. And so I listened to this and reading it, and I thought, how many different ways can you say it? Solomon said to his son, "Son, every way I can think of, wisdom from God is best. It's best." Why is he telling his son to listen to God? I'm going to tell you why. Because a lot of young men are listening to other young men rather than listening to God. Amen. A lot, and I say, I'm talking about young men, but it's the same thing with young women. A lot of people are listening to their peers. And it's amazing. There's a time in life, particularly in those teenage years, in those early, maybe in those early 20s, when rather than listen to the older people, they're listening to their own peer group and people of their own age, and they're following what they've got to say. And Solomon's saying, "Son, there's a wisdom far exceeds the oldest man you know, and that's the wisdom you need to seek after. It's the wisdom of God." Amen. And he's saying it'll be better for you. You'll be able to lay down at night and sleep well. Amen. If you'll listen to what God said. So wisdom is always God-oriented, and wisdom is always beneficial. If we'll follow the ways of God, if we'll live under God, live under God, we'll find out He'll bless us for doing so. Amen. And then the last part, verses 27 through 31, and I know it goes through 35, I'll deal with that in conclusion, but through verse 31 talks about the responsibilities of wisdom. Look at it. These are personal, these are practical duties of wisdom. Because if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll put wisdom out here in some ethereal place. Some philosophy or philosophical thought process rather than actually putting it into practice. There's so many things I think about. I like to read philosophy and listen. Matter of fact, I'm reading a book right now about some ancient Greek philosophers and their life, how they lived. And I'm amazed at how that even wicked worldly men can see some of the benefits in what God's Word said. They don't know it comes from God's Word. Matter of fact, Paul talked about that in heathen. Even the heathen have some light in them that comes from God if they just follow that light. Amen. And not saying that there's a spark of divinity in every man. That's not my point. But I'm saying God can enlighten us if we'll listen to Him. Amen. But in some of this philosophical stuff, for example, you get to arguing with people and they say, you know, everything is relative. Truth is relative. Life is relative. I mean, just because you stick the key in the car and turn it on does not mean it's going to crank. Well, that is true. It doesn't mean it's going to crank. They said, but if you believe it, it's true. No, you can believe it all you want to, and if it's not true, it's not true. Amen. I like to use this statement. I've said it a number of times before. And it's simple. It's funny, but it's simple. Abraham Lincoln, they say, you know, there's a lot of quotes attributed to him he never said. But this is attributed to Abraham Lincoln. They say that he had some counselors around and he asked them all. He said, if you call a dog's tail a leg, how many legs does the dog have? And they all answered five. And he said, no. Still just has four legs. I don't care what you call the tail. He said, a tail's a tail. Doesn't matter what you call it. That's right. You can say 2 + 2 = 5. That does not make it so. It makes you wrong. Because 2 + 2 never equals 5. Not unless you add another one in there somewhere. And so they have all this philosophical stuff that's out there in an ethereal world, but never gets down to practicality. It doesn't actually work. All right? Just like the fellow I told you about that we heard in the homeschool convention that in the college, the guy told him, he said, this one thing you need to know, absolute, there are no absolutes. And that fellow raised his hand and said, are you sure about that? Well, how can you be sure if there's no absolutes? And then he said, I'm sure of it. He said, are you absolutely sure? And you go on. He said, so there's only one absolute. That is that there are no absolutes. And so all this that's up there, I mean, it sounds good. It's psychological babble. It's scientific babble. But in reality, it doesn't work. Here's what Proverbs is saying. He said, if you'll seek after the wisdom of God, it's not just out there in some make-believe world or just in your mind. It'll work out in your life. Look at verse number 27. He says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power or in the power of thine hand to do it. Amen. If you can pay a bill, pay the thing. Don't put it off. Well, there's no interest for 25 years. Yeah, but somewhere down the road, you're going to get stuck with a bunch of interest. And by the way, they know that because they don't get rich by letting you put off payments. No, they get rich by adding to those put off payments. I could say a lot about that. Don't have time to run that. But he said, pay your bill. But he's not just talking about paying bill. He's talking about doing good. When you've got the ability to do good, do it. Don't just think about it. Don't just say, well, I'm following God, but I ain't doing nothing. It's in my heart, just ain't in my actions. No. He said, when you've got the power, do what you know is right to do. All right, look at verse number 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it by thee. Again, don't put it off. Amen. That old saying, don't put off until tomorrow what you can put off to the end of the week. No, I'm kidding. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. But this is a saying that he's saying here. Don't put things off when you know what's right. Just do it. Amen. I had somebody ask me the other day, a situation, they asked me a question. And it wasn't a member here, it's another place, but somebody asked me a question. And they said, this is what God said, but I'm afraid of what people's going to think. I said, listen, ultimately it does not matter what people think. It doesn't even matter what I think about it. If God said it, obey the Lord. Amen. Of course, I think you'd have Bible on it. Amen. You say, well, God said for me to snap somebody's face. You ain't got Bible for that, so you better leave it alone. Amen. Look at verse number 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Verse 30. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. You see, all these things are practical. It's practical illustration and instruction to us. He's telling us, be kind, be generous, give when you can, do good, help others. Don't get involved in strife. Don't get involved in arguments. Don't get involved in all these other things that's out there. Amen. Don't second guess opportunity. Should I, should or not? Let me wait. No, he said, when you know what's right, just do it. Amen. Just do it. Don't take advantage of your neighbor's trust. He's trusting you. Don't take advantage of that trust. Don't get upset at your brother and maintain ill feelings or resentment just because you dislike something about him. Don't nurse. Listen, this is a good one. And I believe this is what's said in verse number 31. Envy not thou the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. Don't nurse thoughts. Boy, I wish I could do it like they're doing it. You ever felt that way? Boy, I wish I could just cuss them out like that fella just cussed them out. No, you don't wish you could. You better be glad that you don't. Amen. I know what some people say, well, they did it, so it's all right for me to do it. No, don't lower yourself to their standard. You've got a standard, and the Bible is the standard. Amen. Don't lower yourself. But then some people get the idea, nursing those thoughts of going down to their level. Some people get the idea, boy, I wish that I could cheat and steal and I could get ahead if I could just do like the world does. No, you're not really going to be getting ahead in the long run. You're not really going to be getting ahead. Amen. Amen. So, he's saying, keep your eyes on God, really, keep your eyes on God. Look back at verse number 3, that first phrase of verse number 3, I believe carries through all this. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let them get out of your sight. Don't lose sight of mercy and truth. Keep your eyes on those things in all of your life. Amen. Now, those are my 3 points of my conclusion, verses 32 through 35. He gives these incentives. He comes back to these motivational incentives about seeking after wisdom and seeking after God. Look at verse 32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. It's talking about God's secret is with the righteous. Verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth peace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. You see, the Father's laying out both sides. He's saying, son, you get to pick which one you want. Do you want a house of blessings or do you want a house of curses? Do you want a life of blessings or you want a life of curses? Amen. He's saying here, do you want God to be against you or do you want God to be for you? Amen. He's laying it out there. The froward is an abomination, but the secret of God is with the righteous. Amen. And on and on and on it goes. God, he said, blesses the habitation of the just. God scorns the scorners. That crowd that's out there mocking, one of these days they're going to get mocked. That's all in the Bible. One of these days they're going to get mocked by God. Amen. But he gives grace unto the lowly. And that's repeated in the book of James. He giveth more grace. He giveth grace to the humble. Amen. He resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. And then that last phrase, verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory. Now, how do you inherit? Do you inherit glory by works? No. No. I'll tell you what's wise. The wisest thing of all is to put your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The wisest thing of all is to recognize I can't make heaven on my own. I can't forgive my own sins. I can't cleanse my own self. I can't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I've got to trust Christ. I've got to turn to Christ. I've got to repent of my sin. I've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got to be willing to follow Him all my life. And if you'll do that, you'll be blessed in the end with glory. Amen. Now here's what I thought about. Now I put these notes here. The Father is pressing this familiar theme again. He's done it since chapter 1. He's saying, live unto God and you will not regret it. Amen. Live for God and you will not regret it. He gives us the entailments and the requirements of trusting God, what it all entails. It entails not just our religious thoughts, our religious feelings, but it entails how we react with our neighbors, how we react with our relatives. Amen. All that is entailed in our real religiosity. Amen. So every one of us who has come to know Christ, we know what it means to trust God. Amen. We know what it means. We put our trust in Him. We've turned to Him. Amen. But when we came to Christ, we came to accept His yoke. And this is the thought I thought of. And I'm almost done. This is the thought I thought of. Chapter 3 tells us very plainly. You do not come to Christ saying, or let me say it this way. You do not come to God saying, God, I'll take Christ for eternity, but I don't want Him for my life down here. I want Christ to be my Lord in eternity, but I don't want Him to be my Lord down here. You don't get Him that way. You can't make that kind of a deal. Amen. You come to Christ and real wisdom comes to Christ, accepts Him with all your heart, with all your life, with everything about you. When you mess up, you tell Him, you acknowledge your mistake and you ask for forgiveness and you seek to be cleansed and you seek to get back in the Scriptures and get back in line with God. Amen. And you seek to walk in a wise path. Amen. Ultimately, that's what chapter number 3 is all about. Wise living is living through Christ, under God, and unto God. Living for God's glory. And by the way, it'll be for our good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. I want to give a time of invitation. And I ask the question, have you committed your life to Christ? Maybe you've given Him your soul. You say, I've given Him my soul. Have you given Him your life? Are you willing to trust Him with your life? Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for the Word of God and the truth of God's Word. Thank You for the instructions of the Father here in the book of Proverbs, particularly these first 9 chapters that deal with all these different scenarios and laying out first one, then the other, and showing us both sides of it and telling us we actually do have a choice in the matter. If we're going to believe God, which is really living by faith, or we're going to listen to everybody else and we're going to live by sight, and we're going to learn from life's hard experiences, or if we're going to learn by faith, believe in God, trust in God, and walk in before You in a way that's pleasing unto You. Help us, Lord, to choose the best. Help us, Lord, to choose Christ. Help us, Lord, to choose Thy way and Thy word. Lord, I pray that You'd help sinners today, that they'd come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Saints to be strengthened and drawn closer unto You. Lord, I pray, stir in our hearts a revival, in our homes, in our own hearts, in our church, in our nation. Lord, I pray You'd stir revival. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, and if you need to come around the altar, some are in the altar. If you need to come in the altar, give you opportunity to pray, you call on the Lord while we sing. 160. 160. As we sing, you obey the Lord. Whatever He says unto you to do, do it. Surrender to Him.